Living Waters Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. We're so glad you've joined us today for the message that the Lord wants us to receive. It's the message that He laid on my heart, and I trust that you will receive it as He has intended for you to. But before we go ahead, I would like to just acknowledge that the presence of the Lord is here, because without Him, I'm nothing. I'm a failure. I've been a failure many times, as you and I all have been. But Jesus is the one. The Holy Spirit quickens, and He gives us the strength. And I want to acknowledge His presence and ask for His guidance. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You said, Jesus, when You went away, You said, I will send the Comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And He will enlighten you, and He will teach you. And I pray, oh God, He'll lead us into all truth. I thank You for Your word. I pray that You will quicken my mind and help me to relay what You have given to me. I pray for every person who is not here today that would have been here in the congregation, but they are enduring sickness or something. We thank You, Lord, that You are our great physician. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk today about a life worth living. A life worth living. There are a lot of people today that feel like life is just not worth it. There was a man, I've read the story of, there was a man who was nervous and tense, and he'd worried himself sick. He was none the better after several sessions with his physician. And finally, the physician suggested that he see his minister. Go to the preacher. He said, I don't know what to tell you. And so the man went to the minister, and they talked for a while, and then the minister took a pad of paper from his desk drawer, and he said, if you went to see a doctor, he would give you a prescription, and that's what I want to do. And the minister said, I want you to take the prescription exactly as I write it, just as you would do for a doctor's prescription. And so 5 times a day, he said, for 7 days, I want you to read prayerfully and carefully the 23rd Psalm. I want you to read it when you wake up in the morning. I want you to read it before each meal, and then at bedtime again, read the 23rd Psalm. Now, there are only 6 verses in that particular Psalm. And he said, I don't fail. For 5 days, 7 days, I want you to do that. And so in a week, the man returned, literally a different person. The power of the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23, is a prescription that gives confidence and hope for the problems and the pressures of our day, as well as a promise of hope for our eternal future. We must have faith in the one who created us and has promised guidance, provision, comfort, protection, and the gift of eternal life. What a wonderful promise. What a great affirmation. The Lord is my shepherd, it says. Every promise in the psalm hangs on the power of this promise. The psalmist was saying, I believe in God, the God who is Lord above all lords. He said, the Lord. Now, he didn't say just any lords. There are things that we place on a pedestal, and we say, this is the Lord of my life. But he says, the Lord that is above all lords. He said, I believe that he cares about me and that I can depend on his guidance, is what the psalmist said. His provision, his protection, he cares for me. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He'll be your shepherd. And we can make that same declaration. David had been a shepherd, and he understood how much the sheep need the care and protection of a loving shepherd. You know, sheep are strange creatures. They're not very intelligent. And they're defenseless, and they're dependent. They tend to wander and astray, and they don't always stay right with the group. They'd wander away. But then David knew about a shepherd. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I'm the door to the sheepfold. I understand that a shepherd, in order, when he was tired, he had to rest sometimes too. They had a fold, a fence, or a wall around that they brought the sheep in at night. And the shepherd, but this very narrow opening, they did not have a gate for it. But the shepherd was the one who became that door or that gate. He lay there so that no sheep could go out without stepping over him. It would waken him. That was what the shepherd did. I watched a video of a man who was witnessing and interviewing a man. This Christian man was out on the streets and he was witnessing to people. The unbeliever said, I am my own God. He said, I'm my own God. I don't need any other God telling me what I can or cannot do. There was a young lady that came to my house several months ago, and we were talking about, I guess Joshua was inviting her to church, and she said, I don't need a God to tell me what to do. I am my own God. That's a sad place to be, isn't it? Because we cannot be God. That's what Adam and Eve, they wanted to be like God. That's why Satan, Lucifer, was cast out of heaven. We cannot be like that. But we depend on a God that loves us. And this guy said, I don't believe in any other God. It's disappointing to hear that kind of confession, but I've heard it many times. Psalm, this 14th chapter, said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is a fool that would say that, because every one of us will come in touch, will see him one day, and we will give an account. Jesus is our protection, our shepherd, and pride sometimes keeps us from admitting our need for a Savior, a shepherd. Sometimes people feel like it shows their weakness if they say, I need a Savior. I need Jesus to be my shepherd and my Lord. It is not weakness. It takes strength. The greatest decision and the strongest decision anybody can make is to say, I want Jesus. I want the shepherd to be in my life. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. He said, like sheep having no shepherd. I think that today in our world, our nation, our country, our world is almost scattered and we're without doubt, we're without a shepherd, it seems. We try to do things on our own. They take away the history of anything that has to do with God. But the psalmist said, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want, because I have everything I really need for a life worth living. Only as we trust in the shepherd, in Jesus, can we live a life that's worth living. Otherwise, our lives are hopeless. We don't have any joy, nothing. Living with peace, he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When we are that's what the Lord does. He provides this provision for us. Sheep are dependent on their shepherd very much. David understood that. He said, he leads me beside the still waters. Sheep do not know their limits. They'll stay in the fields all day, never resting. And the shepherd makes them rest. Sometimes we tend to do that. Sometimes we think we just have to keep going and going and going. We can't get everything done we want to. And sheep will not drink from rushing currents. They don't want that. That is scary to them. They'll go thirsty. They will not drink. But the shepherd leads them to still waters. Jesus is our shepherd, and he brings us to a place where the waters are still. We don't have to worry about the rushing waters, the things, the fears that come upon us. Prayer is going to the still waters. That's what brings still waters, is prayer, as we communicate with God, with our shepherd. God brings peace to our lives, and we can say, be still, my soul. I trust in you. And then we have that peace and that stillness. Be still, my soul. The God, my God, I trust in you. Peace is not the absence of problems and pressures. We all are going to have that. I don't care who you are. You're going to have problems and pressures. But peace is not the absence of conflict, but peace is the promise of God's presence. Knowing that God is with us, we can go through anything. Know that the peace of God passes all understanding. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let it be afraid." He said, "I am with you." And then the psalmist went on to say, "He restores my soul. When I grow weary and tired, he gives me new strength. He picks me up when I have fallen." You know, there are some people that when somebody trips or falls, they want to stomp on him and say, "I knew he was no good." But the shepherd doesn't do that. He picks me up. He picks us up. And in our weakness, he comes with the renewing of his omnipotence, his presence, his power. And John Wesley wrote to a minister friend who was struggling with his calling, and he said, "You look inward too much and upward too little." We need to not look to ourselves to solve all of our problems or stress, but we need to look upward to the one who will solve them, the renewing power of God. God is our sufficiency. He guides me, the psalmist said, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our fellowship is often uncertain. Following the sheep, you know, they're prone to wander, and sometimes we do the same thing. We don't follow as we should. And like sheep, we wander from the fold. But the nature of the shepherd is to seek the one lost sheep. He will leave. That's how much he cares for his flock. "Thou art with me," the psalmist says, "though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if it is long and lonesome, Jesus, our shepherd, has promised to be with us, and his presence gives us hope through shadowy stretches of life." There are times when we feel like, "What do I do? Where do I turn?" But he is there. He is our shepherd. If we lean on him and let him be the shepherd, we can be the sheep, and he will lead us through those shadowy places. I was 19 years old, and across the table from me, I saw the absence of hope in the eyes of a 34-year-old man. He sat at the table with a bottle of whiskey in his coat pocket, and he looked worn and weary. I noticed the vacant eyes that stared but didn't really see. He said that he had wasted his life and had no hope for a life worth living because he had not trusted in the shepherd. He didn't feel like he had a life. It was not worth living. How many people we see, my father used to tell of his grandmother, one of his grandmothers that died, and she said, "Turn on the light, turn on the light," and as she was dying. And they said, "Emma, the light is on." And she says, "I know, but I'm in the dark." Without the shepherd to guide us and to light the way, we're in the dark. We cannot go without that light and that shepherd. So He is our hope. Hope comes through the certainty of God's presence. When we know his presence is with us, we have that hope, and life is worthwhile. In Romans, the 5th chapter, it said, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And then he went on, the psalmist said, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. When I stumble or stray, his staff guides me." He pushes me on the right path. When I go aside and I'm not with the flock, he said, "You're going astray. Come on back." And then you think, well, that rod probably is to beat me down. I believe the rod is what the shepherd used in his belt. He carried a rod to defend the sheep from attack and a staff to support and help guide the sheep. "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. When I stumble or stray, his staff guides me." I'm so thankful for that shepherd. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." The story is told about a family who had a little boy. whose job it was to put the empty milk bottles on the front steps at night. We don't remember that, some of us. Maybe we do. But one night, he absolutely refused. When his father asked why, the boy replied, "But because it's too dark to go outside without a father." That's the promise of the Shepherd's Psalm. We don't have to go out into life into the darkness of this world alone. We have a father. The shepherd will go with us as this little boy's father went with him. Living with gratitude, the psalmist said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Wow, that's a whole lot there, huh, of blessings. The high summer range where the sheep grazed was referred to as tablelands. The shepherd went ahead of the sheep to remove the noxious weeds, the things that were very dangerous for them. He went ahead, and other things that might harm his sheep on the tablelands. Do you think about it, how God goes ahead of us? Before we ever go, he's in front of us, he's above us, he's beside us, behind us, making sure that we are protected. And that's the way the shepherd did. God prepares the way before us. God calls us to the adventure of the not yet, anticipating a future not seen by us, but prepared by God. God's preservation, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Many times we have a wound, and we want some kind of ointment to ease the pain. He said, "I have that." No matter how carefully the shepherd prepares the way, the sheep are still bruised and wounded by the thorns and thistles. At the end of each day, the shepherd would gently rub the healing oil onto the wounds of the sheep. When we are wounded, when we're hurt, and when we're broken, God, our shepherd, Jesus, will put the oil of healing upon our wounds. He heals the brokenness within us. He is a wonderful shepherd. The shepherd does not scold the sheep for their wounds and say, "You shouldn't have gotten that." He tends to the wounds. This is a portrait of a forgiving, gracious God who really cares for his children. The psalmist said then, "My cup runneth over." I am reminded of the song, "Oh, the joy of sins forgiven, oh, the peace the blood washed known. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow." Do you remember that song? It's a song that I think that was one of those that I heard Oral Roberts when he was in ministry. He'd say, "Oh, the joy of sins forgiven, oh, the peace the blood washed known. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow." That's a peace we have, knowing that our Heavenly Father cares about every pain, every wound, everything in our lives. There are wounds sometimes that are not physical. There are wounds of the heart and of the spirit. But we know that He will comfort us. Often our little children cry with just a little scratch because they love the caresses and loving attention they receive. I have a granddaughter. She can get, I can't even see the wound. She says, oh, and she's crying. But you know what? Just a kiss seems to take away the pain. I experienced that many times as a child because I was always getting injured because of my foolish choices. I climbed the highest tree. I got in my mother's washing machine, you know, the old wringer washers, and my arm went through, nearly tore it off. Because I was always into something. But my mother was there healing the wounds. My heart overflowed with the joy of my mother's love and forgiveness. She didn't chastise me, but she loved me and put the oil of healing on me. David said, "I live with confidence." He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the last verse in that chapter. We are people on a journey growing in our relationship with the God who makes himself supremely known through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ can we know God. My son, Vincent, is in Hawaii. He was until I think he's flying back right now. But he called me and he was talking about in Hawaii. And he said, wow, he said, it is so so different here. It's really great fun. But anyway, he was telling about some of the things that he had to do. I thought it was funny that he's so embarrassed that they called on him to come and teach. Well, they said, who wants to learn how to do the hula dance? Of course, this little girl is always, yeah, she wants to do it. And he said, oh, no, she wants, they said, okay. They chose her along with about several others. And they chose her, and they came down to get her, and the woman said, I'm sorry, but she has to have a parent with her. You come with her. And he said, oh, no. And his wife said, no, I don't want to do it. And he said, honey, it's okay, just forget it. And they said, no, I'm sorry, just come on with your daughter, come on. So he said he got up there, and there were no other parents up there. He was the only parent. They had singled him out because he was young, and they thought, we can make a fool of him. Nobody else. There were a lot of older people, and they thought, no, we'll make a kind of pick on him. So he got up there, and he told me, he said, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Vincent is not a person that likes to be in the public show. But anyway, they said, okay, now they're showing him how to do the hula dance. Come on, you got to swing. And he was doing it. And he said, I thought I was going to die of embarrassment. I could hardly do that. But you know what? He did it because he loved his little girl. And she thought it was the most wonderful thing that her dad did that. And the Lord, he does things for us, and he's with us whenever we are afraid, and when we cannot be alone, he's with us. And so we are growing in our relationship with the God who makes himself supremely known only through Jesus Christ. And what I thought about, Vincent told me, got on that, he said it was interesting when they prayed at that gathering, and there were several hundred people there. He said they prayed, and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I was surprised that they could do that. But he said, I was very glad. It was quite a testimony. The psalmist began with faith. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in closing, he says with faith, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have that promise if we have made the Lord our shepherd. He will lead us, and we will come. We start out with the faith that he is my shepherd, and then we have the faith that goodness and mercy will follow us, and we're going to dwell with him forever, all the days in the house of the Lord. To the psalmist, confidence is God assurance. Confidence literally means intense faith. In the 23rd Psalm, David expresses his intense faith in God. The Hebrew verb shall follow, and we've got two words there, but it's just one word, but that's what it means. It really means to pursue. God is actively pursuing me with his grace. His mercy, his loving kindness, what a God. He is available to us. I can remember when I was reading a book one time, this kind of really gripped me, and I said, wow, God, you're pursuing, you're coming. And I said, God, I'm going to go walk just a little slower so you can just envelop me with all of that assurance and all that you want to give and bring to me. Perhaps you believe in God, but he seems distant and uninvolved. In Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. To have a life worth living, we need to trust in a God that is worth serving. Now, that young man that said, I am my own God, I don't need a God, that's not a God that's worth serving. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What day? The day when he will take me home to be with him forever, eternally. The promise of God's presence is for now and forever. The psalmist said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The power of the God we serve does not end at the grave. Down the long corridor of life, the psalmist looks and shouts the good news that death is not a dead end, but just a door. It is only a door into eternal life, eternity. If all we had to look forward to is this life in this body, there wouldn't be much, because some of us, our bodies don't do like we want them to do. Imagine the joy of those of us with faith in Jesus Christ. The end is only the beginning. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The end is only the beginning. We will trade our earthly house, this mortal body, for a house not made with human hands, a glorified body that will know no pain, no sickness, no death. When Jesus was resurrected, when he came out of the tomb, he had a glorified body, a body where these walls did not restrain him. He could go through the walls, a body he felt no pain. Oh, he endured agonizing pain on the cross for you and for me. He took it for us so that we could have eternal life. The only way that we could have that kind of life for eternity is that he took that pain for us on the cross. It is no wonder that the Apostle Paul exclaimed, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When I live in this body, I want it to be all for Christ, he says. It is all for Christ. But to die is gain. I'm going to receive a body, you say, and it seems like the story I heard, the guy that went into the doctor's office. The doctor was examining him, and then pretty soon he heard a scratch. There was a scratch at his door, and there was a scratch, and the guy said, "What is that?" And he said, "Oh, that's my little pooch. He wants in here." And he said, "He's never been in here, but he knows I'm in here, so he wants in here." That's the way it is. We have never experienced, we never have been over that threshold of beyond this body into that eternal realm. But we know who's there. And so that it makes us want to be in his presence. We want to be with him because I want to see Jesus. When I go into heaven, I have a husband there, and I want to see him. But first of all, I want to see Jesus. Jesus is worth, he's the one who gave his life for me. My husband was precious to me, but Jesus is more precious than any human could ever be. There's a song that I looked at, and I was going to have Ramona sing it. It says, "Life was shattered and hope was gone." This is the song of the testimony of many people. "Crushing the load that I bore, then out of the depths I cried, 'Oh God, give me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I've had before, something more than wealth or fame.' And he gave me something worth living for. There at life at its lowest ebb, who could heal and restore? Then he came and mended my broken heart. He gave me something worth living for." That's what Jesus does. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. We have a hope that is beyond this life, beyond this body. Our bodies ache sometimes. Our bodies don't function like we want them to. And we say, "Oh, God, and I want healing." And he did take the stripes for our healing. And we receive healing just like the mother kisses away the pain. God takes away the pain. But there comes a day when we no longer will be in this physical body. We will take our flight. And then I know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If you are watching this program today and you have not made Jesus the shepherd and the Lord of your life, he's pursuing you, and he says, "Let me come in. Let me come into your heart." There's a song my mother used to sing to me. She said when I was a little kid, you know, this Holy Spirit came, and I said, "Oh, I'm just a kid. I want to play. I'm just a child. Go away. Don't bother me now. I like to have fun." And then as a teenager, no, it's for fun and excitement. And the period went on, and finally an old man leaning on his trembling staff, and the Holy Spirit came, and he said, I want to receive him, but all of my life I have rejected him. Now how do I take him into my life? Yes, he'll come in, but we don't have a promise that we'll have a long life. But he wants us to give him that opportunity to come in and to give us life that is greater than this mortal life. Well, I want to live in that immortal being one day. Thank you for watching us today, but before I close, I want to pray, and I would like for you to agree with me. Just saying a prayer will never give you redemption. It will never save you. It will not make you born again. But believing in your heart, he says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and he was resurrected and you receive him, then you will be saved. We know that the thief that hung on the cross beside Jesus, one of them that he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledged that Jesus was Lord, the Lord of all. And that's all it took. He said, remember me. He acknowledged that he needed a Savior. And we must acknowledge that we need a Savior, a shepherd for our lives. I would like to pray with you, and you just agree. I trust that you will receive him as your shepherd and your Savior. Heavenly Father, we come to you. I thank you for those who are watching and who have decided that they want you to be the guide in their lives. We encounter many heartaches and hardships, but we thank you that you are there to kiss away and to wipe away the pain of our lives, the things that have wounded us, that you're there to protect us. I pray, oh God, that most of all, you'll wipe us the sin from our lives. We repent of everything and we accept the blood of Jesus as our only atonement. The only ointment that will remove the sin from our lives is the blood of Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you've made a decision to serve Jesus and let him be Lord, the Lord of your life. Thank you for joining us today at Living Water Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. All right, we're going to be dismissed. Is there anyone who needs special prayer? We've taken needs to the Lord, Scott, yes. Okay, all right, you can just come forward and the people will anoint you and pray. Is there anyone else who needs prayer? We'll be letting you know when the baptismal service is. We're kind of setting that. You want to be baptized. Okay, all right. Baptism does not save us. It's just an outward confession of what an inward work has taken place in our lives. Amen. Okay. Is there anybody else? Okay, those of you that would like to come up and pray for Scott, please. The brethren, if you lay hands on Scott. All right. All right. We thank you, Lord, that you said whenever we have a problem, we can come to you. Call unto me and I will answer. Well, you will show us great and mighty things. I pray, Lord, that you will hear the request that has been made. And I pray that you will minister to his body, bring healing, and go before him. Help him to put his trust in you. Sometimes we wander to the side and we don't focus. I pray that you will help us focus. Let God focus on exactly what you want for him. Yes. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for strength. Thank you for provision. In Jesus' name we thank you. Yes, one of you brethren want to pray.
Father, I pray that you would rain down upon my brother in wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment of making the decisions that him and Bonnie are making.
Yes.
That you give them direction and give them help from those around them, Lord, because you know where they are, and they're not always easy to reach. But, Lord God,
you know
how to reach down and touch the hearts and bring them out of the woodwork and to help, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We rely on you.
We look to you. You said to adhere to you, rely on and trust you. And my brother is doing that right now. So we're standing in the gap right here with him, Lord God, that you would reach down and touch him and reveal yourself to him in a mighty way.
Yes, thank
and
you, Jesus.
And we're going to thank you for that right
we
now.
We agree.
Lord, you said
to be
thankful in all things
yes.
in our supplications and petitions before
yes,
you.
Lord.
And we will do that. And I am thanking you also for the strength that you're imparting to him in helping his body to withstand the
yes.
things that him and Bonnie
yes,
are both
Lord.
Going through right now. We know, Lord God, that you know our limits, but I know that you are able,
yes.
as you did with David and many other warriors for yourself. You extended their limits, and you strengthened them and made them to be able
yes.
to come through it victoriously. And we thank you for
Jesus.
That in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. All right. Bless you. Be blessed. Okay. Is there, if there's nothing else, anybody, we're going to be dismissed and a little bit earlier today, but that's okay. Yes.
Can I say the prayer?
You want to say the dismissal prayer? Okay. Let's just stand together in honor of the Lord, and Scott would like to dismiss us. Okay.